Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started.
Wait.
The Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a big bang.
Hey everybody, welcome back to a special bonus episode of PMS, the Perpetual Motion Squad, a Big Bang Theory fan podcast. And we are your hosts, Big Bang Theory super fan Cat.
And Paul.
Who is just rolling his eyes at me.
No, actually, to be honest with you, last week I tried to do the intro like you would do it. And I think I fell flat. But if you liked that episode, everyone, and if you thought I did a credible job with doing it all by myself, you can email me at perpetualmotionsquad00@gmail.com and just tell me how I did on last week's episode, because I couldn't do the panache in the way that Kat does her introduction to the episode. So,
or email us and tell us that I should record it for him to use when I'm not available.
That would be interesting. Yeah, we could do that for sure. So this week, we are not going to do a traditional episode. We are doing a listener episode. Now, before we get to the listener episode, I did get an email. Now, I'm not sure whether I touched on this when we got the email back in January. So if I didn't touch on it, I sincerely do apologize. But we got an email from a listener by the name of Jeremy. And I did say, welcome to the show and welcome to the PMS family when I responded to him. And he actually pointed out that he found a really interesting little nugget in the episodes. Now, he said, thanks for the podcast. I simply love it. I found you a few days ago, and I mean, burning through episodes like crazy. I believe it was season one, episode three, when they went to the dance lesson. With the guys, and they were all doing the dancing with the older ladies. Because yeah. I think Leonard was
dance class. Yeah.
Yeah, Leonard was all down in the dumps. Anyway, as they were dancing, Howard mentioned something about Mrs. Grossman
having her eye on him.
Yeah. Now, that's not the only time a Grossman is mentioned. I forget what season or episode it was, but there is one where Penny
calls. I think it was in the first season. It's the one where Howard tried to kiss Penny and she broke his nose.
Right.
And she went to apologize. And he was telling her how he had this crush when he was about 12 years old on Marcy Grossman. And he started singing to the tune of My Girl. You know, Marcy Grossman, Marcy Grossman, it's Marcy Grossman.
So I wonder, I mean, with Jeremy's calling this out, I wonder if they're related.
It's possible, but Grossman is in Jewish families like Smith is.
I mean, it is very, very close when you look at it. You know, I mean, when you look at that scenario, you know, I just wonder whether, I mean,
she could be like her grandmother or something, but it's also possible that they're just really distantly related.
Yeah, maybe.
Not at all.
But I really love, you know, our listeners, that they get so involved, in our podcast. And that leads us to this week's very special episode. Now, I said last week I wasn't going to tell anybody who it was until this week. Now I am going to tell everyone who our superfan is, that not only did she send us an email, she sent us an entire novel.
She sent us two emails.
And they are amazing. They're very, very long. But I tell you what,
I was into Big Bang canon, and then I started reading her stuff.
I know. She is so on point with the things that she sent us. That I'm going to stop saying her. Courtney, our superfan.
Oh, I'm so shocked.
I know. Courtney is absolutely amazing. And she has taken the time to send us an email, two emails, that have got so much information that we really wanted to do just her very special episode. Now, anybody can get involved in this. Anybody can send us information on the Big Bang Theory, and we will make it your special episode. But I'm telling you, we had to decide to just take this week's episode.
We'll mention it when we talk about the mailbag and stuff at different episodes, but this one deserved its own because there was just so much.
There really is. There is so much that Courtney has touched on. So we are really, really grateful that Courtney's gone down this path and done so much research for us.
Oh, absolutely. But I will say, Courtney, don't be upset that we're not going to cover absolutely everything in the email, because some of it addresses specific points in episodes that we have not done yet. So we're going to save that to talk about in that actual episode.
Yeah. But with what she's actually sent us, we can touch on a lot of stuff. So we're going to start off with her first question. And her first question was, have you seen episode zero? Now, that's the Big Bang Theory that was never aired. Now, when I read the email, I immediately decided I'm going to Google this because I really am so intrigued to find this episode. And I did. It is currently available on YouTube. It's broken up into, I think, six different parts, but it's the entire episode. And it goes, you know, you can see the way the pilot episode was created to the original episode that actually started it off on the Big Bang Theory. So we're going to touch on that because Kat and I have watched episode zero. Now, what did we think of episode zero?
The show never would have made it. They were right to can it and redo it.
Yeah. When I was watching episode zero, I noticed that obviously they did incorporate some of the episode that we actually got to see is episode one, which was going to the fertility clinic, speaking to the nurse there, ruining her crossword puzzle. But we start to see that they were taking Sheldon.
After that, it pretty much diverges.
Well, they were taking Sheldon in a completely different direction.
Yeah.
Because when we get to see the very first episode, and look, everyone, there is going to be spoilers in this because Courtney has done such a great job. We really have to touch on a lot of stuff. So if there's stuff that you really don't want to learn about with Big Bang, then go and watch something. And come back. But I'm telling you, I encourage everybody to go to YouTube and type in episode zero, Big Bang Theory, and you'll get to see it. As I said, it's broken up into six parts, but it's the entire episode. So please, if you want to watch it, please go to watch it. So, and then come back to our podcast. But anyway, the way they start taking Sheldon is they take him in a direction that he would not have worked.
No.
Because
he was crazy.
Well, they take him in the opening scene of the episode. They, you know, they're talking about the whole, you know, fertility, you know, they're coming to make a fertility donation. But we find out that Sheldon is actually a butt man. He's got male magazines in his sock drawer. And Leonard actually calls him out for this. So,
That he happened to find a magazine. It took so long because he found this magazine and he's like, oh, you mean the one about big butts that you keep hidden in your sock drawer?
Yeah.
Brought with you.
So it starts to take Sheldon in a completely different direction.
Yeah. He's a very sexual being in this.
Yeah, he really is. Now, as we go along that episode, we see that they're introduced to Katie, which obviously becomes Penny. Now, when they actually did a test, and I mentioned this last episode, when they did the test screening to see how it was going to react on the audience, Katie was the most unlikable character. In actual fact, someone actually said to the producers, you need to get rid of the nasty lady.
Yeah, she was awful.
Because she really was. She is not going to bring out in Leonard or Sheldon what Penny has.
No, because she brings out the better parts of themselves.
Yeah. Whereas Katie was really snarky. I mean, there she is.
Selfish and greedy and just, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's sitting on the sidewalk, you know, calling her mother, seeing whether she could go and, you know, stay with her. Obviously, we find out that she'd actually had slept with her now mother's husband. And then when the boys say, listen, Leonard says, I'm, you know, a little distressed that she's upset. Sheldon's like, yep, that's fine. Let's keep walking. Don't worry about her, you know. But when they actually invite her to dinner, she gets up off the ground like, well, why? Why are you inviting me? Like, what are you expecting out of me? And it's like, we are just concerned about you. You're getting
just
a free meal.
You upset and thought we would try to help.
Yeah, well, you're getting a free meal. But outside of that, that's all we want. And even Katie calls it out, like, you know, well, we're just going to have dinner and that's it. And I like how Leonard goes, and then what? That's what? Like, he's not thinking he's going to jump into bed with her. He's actually just
trying to be nice.
So now, you know, as that episode goes along, we see them in the restaurant. Even Katie, you know, like, you remember that scene where when we see Penny come into the apartment and he says, she says, you know, he goes to sit down. And he goes, well, that's where I sit. And he says, it's where you get, you know, no glare on the TV. The heating and cooling's good. It's like a crossbreed. You can talk to people. He starts doing that spiel in the actual restaurant. Yeah. Now, Katie is not even interested in, you know, in his name, because at one stage she says to him, yeah, you tell him Skippy. And he goes, and he says to her, my name is Sheldon. And she goes, go with Skippy. Like, she's not even interested in the person that he is.
Yeah.
So the other character that we actually didn't touch on is Gilda.
Yeah, and in this one, there is no Roger Howard either.
No, and the apartment is so claustrophobically small. I mean,
it's totally different layout as well.
It is. Now, what did we think of Gilda? Because I actually said to you about who I thought Gilda became. And it was actually spot on when we watched a little spoiler on YouTube about it.
Yeah, well, you know, she has elements of the future Amy Farrah Fowler.
Mm.
And we actually do find out at one point that Sheldon and Gilda hooked up at a Comic-Con.
See, that takes Sheldon completely in the wrong direction of his character.
But I still contend that Gilda is not quite Amy Farrah Fowler. She's a bit of a blend between Amy Farrah Fowler and what's her name? Sheldon's nemesis.
Oh, Leslie Winkle.
Leslie Winkle. Yeah.
I can actually see more of Amy than what I can see.
I know that you can, but she also has she works at Caltech with them, but also she has the outgoingness and the social skills of Leslie Winkle.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
So I think she's more of a blend of both of those characters.
I mean, we get to see that when...
And she has a massive crush on Leonard.
Oh, Gilda does. Well, because Gilda does say to him, I think we should go out, but I need to tell you something that Sheldon and I hooked up at Comic-Con. And it's like, wow, in a parallel universe, that's really going to take this show. And it really wouldn't have worked because so when we see that Penny...
There was nowhere for it to go.
No, because when we see with the original Penny, or obviously Penny as we know her, that she goes and has a shower and she comes out and we've got Raj and Howard and the boys and she comes in wearing a towel, you know, watch what they do in the unaired episode, which is that when Gilda decides to introduce herself to Katie, she says, you know, we're having sort of like we're starting a relationship and, you know, and it's not going to go anywhere. And of course, this is where Katie goes, what? So he's not going to get a sight of this, and opens her towel up and gives her an entire full frontal.
Yeah.
And Gilda goes, nope. So it's like, we are taking this show in a completely wrong direction. I mean, you know, Katie is a party girl because just the same as Penny is, but not to the same extent, I don't think that Katie is. So that's another reason why I really think this whole unaired episode just wouldn't have worked.
And just Katie wouldn't have really grown as a person because she had no interest in it.
No, she didn't. I mean, she even called Leonard out about being, well, she actually drew on his whiteboard a set of testicles and a penis. Yeah. And he like looks at it and goes, a spaceship on wheels? Like, he doesn't see what she says because apparently...
Well, no, and then he went,
But she got him upset about... He got her upset about something. But really, I mean, the pilot episode, when it was aired to the select audience that it did, I'm glad they went, no, it's wrong.
Well, in one of the follow-ups to it that we watched, kind of dissecting it a little bit, you know, you got to give credit to Chuck Lorre and the writers and producers for listening to, because a lot of people, especially in Hollywood, get that ego of whatever I put out is perfect and is fine and everybody's going to love it. And they actually swallowed the ego and listened to the feedback and threw the whole thing out and reworked it and made it what it is today.
Yeah. And I really applaud them on that, because that's why the Big Bang Theory is as good as it is. I mean, you know, even and just touching on it very, very briefly, Sheldon's mother in the Big Bang Theory, and also in Young Sheldon, who are mother and daughter in real life.
Yeah.
When the mother in Young Sheldon actually spoke to her mother, and said about, you know, the whole process of being in the Big Bang, in from the Big Bang Theory to Young Sheldon, she actually said to her, "Trust the writers; they are good."
Yeah,
and that is exactly what it is. Is that, you know, she really understood that these guys know what they're doing. And for Chuck Lorre and his writers to go and go, you know what? Yeah, we're going to listen to our audience and we're going to retool this show. I'm glad they did, because really out of the whole, I mean, obviously we've got Leonard and Sheldon with a stable all the way through, but Katie, no, I don't like her. She is narcissistic. She is very, very mean. Gilda is... I don't even know why they even had Gilda there. She was really nothing. I mean, she didn't bring anything to the role. She didn't bring anything to the character. I mean, I know we only got to see one episode of them.
She was to be a foil to Katie to fight over the boys.
Yeah, but when you look at Katie to Gilda, there was no fight, because really Katie had no interest in either one of them. Because I remember when you get to see the when they're on the street and Leonard introduces himself and he goes, "Oh, I'm Leonard. This is Sheldon." Katie goes, "Of course you are." So she's
But that's the thing is, I think the plan was to eventually have Leonard and Katie start to hit it off. And then there would be a triangle between Katie and Gilda and Leonard.
Yeah. I just see that that sort of like, you know, episode really wouldn't have worked where we see it, where Big Bang is today. So look, if you want to go and see it, as I said, type in on YouTube episode 0, Big Bang Theory, and you'll actually get to see it. It's broken up into 6 parts. You can watch it all the way through. Even the last part where Katie's on the dance floor being very seductive, and the three of them, Leonard, Gilda, and Sheldon, are standing there watching, and they're like, and of course, and even, okay, this is another thing. Katie gives Sheldon a beer.
Yeah, and he drank.
And he drinks it.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. They were going to take him in another direction, that he actually drinks alcohol, where Sheldon, as we know him, doesn't drink alcohol. But even when Leonard says, "Well, you know, we're standing here on the dance floor, we should embrace all the social norms of this," and they start dancing like they're absolutely high on, I don't know, hallucinogens. But even Katie looks at a very attractive girl dancing near her and going, "Oh, they don't get out much." So it's almost like I'm releasing them from the institution that they live at, because it just doesn't work.
And also point out the fact that Katie moved in with them, not across the hall.
Yes, I did. I forgot to touch on that. That was an interesting little take on that episode. That when she, when you say she moves in, she actually moves in. She doesn't even wait for them to make the gesture.
Well, no, he offered to let her like stay the night, and then the next thing we know, she's going to stay for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, a month tops.
Yeah,
it's like, no, I'm sorry, this is not that sort of episode. This is not that sort of series. And I really think that Big Bang Theory would have bombed maybe after the first season.
I don't think it would have made it through the first 6 episodes before they canceled it.
Yeah. So that's a very good point that Courtney has brought up. Now, the next bit that Courtney has actually said is, I also think there are any deleted scenes out there from different episodes that never made it to the cut. I'm sure there is. I would love to see a lot of deleted episodes. You know, you get to see people like George Lucas that actually puts in, you know, cut out scenes that he at the time thought it wouldn't work for Star Wars.
Sweetie, you want deleted scenes, buy the DVDs. They're in the special features.
Are they?
Yeah, should be.
No, that's bloopers. I don't think it's outtakes.
Courtney can check that.
Yeah, no, Courtney's talking more along the lines of like, you know, that they actually have scenes that were not great, or they are contradictory in basically new scenes.
I'm pretty sure there are deleted scenes in the special features. We'll check that and get back to y'all.
Yeah, that would have actually been really good because there's certainly some scenes, but as I said, George Lucas, you know, Steven Spielberg, they do the same thing. They put in scenes that they think might not work in the final cut, but then they sit there and go, hang on a minute, that actually might work. I'll throw it back in there and see what we do. I mean, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
They don't usually put it back in once it's been edited out, but they will put it in the special features for people who are curious about what they cut out.
Not necessarily. You've got Jabba the Hutt speaking to Han Solo that's actually in the actual movie of Star Wars.
The remastered one.
The remastered version, yeah. Yeah. You haven't seen the remastered? Yes, you've seen the remastered version.
I've seen the remastered. I said it was a bad scene.
I'm sorry. Your microphone is having issues every now and again. That's all. That's all. Now, one thing that was really interesting that Courtney touched on, and I'd love to do this as well. Do you think there'll ever be a future Big Bang Theory reunion? I would love to see that. I think that would be absolutely amazing to think that there could be in that time frame a Big Bang Theory reunion.
I think there definitely will be one at some point.
You think there will be?
I do.
I mean, when you look at it, I think that Jim Parsons is the big contributing factor to this. That I think that maybe, you know, if he... I mean, I saw a photograph the other day, and I know it's superimposed, I understand that, but it was in a Big Bang Theory fan club on Facebook, and it actually had a picture of a little boy sitting on Amy's lap, and you got Sheldon, and you got a little girl sitting on his lap, and it's Sheldon and Amy's family. It was really, really lovely.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, because in Young Sheldon, we do hear Sheldon reference his children and their family. Yeah. And in one of the Young Sheldon episodes, there's a voiceover of Amy saying, "You're lucky I let you name him Sheldon or Leonard."
Leonard, yeah.
So we know that they do have at least one or two kids. I think they end up having three. For some reason, that number stuck in my head. But it would be nice to see Howard and Bernadette's kids as they're growing up and their family as they're growing. It would be nice to see Sheldon and Amy's and Leonard and Penny's.
Yeah, because we know.
And it'd be nice to know if Raj ever finds love.
Yeah,
because we know. Or if he finally comes out as gay. And finds love.
I mean, Kat's got this idea that look, when Kat has the idea that he might be gay, we've all got that idea that he may be.
I think he is, and he just hasn't admitted it to himself yet.
Although, I mean, he was pretty much set on Anu.
That was because he had given up on trying to find love himself and was settling.
So he's settling for second best. Yeah. So, but I would love to see a reunion episode. I think that would be great. But I would like them to do it in such a way that it doesn't detract away from the actual Big Bang Theory show.
No, it almost feels a little bit like Love is Blind after the altar.
Oh my God, yeah. But what I would like to not see is a Joni loves Chachi sort of scenario.
No.
We all know.
What I'm concerned about with Young Sheldon is that they're talking about doing a spinoff with Georgie and his baby and all of that.
Yeah, that's...
I have my doubts. I'm willing to watch it because it's part of the canon, but I have my doubts about it.
See, I also look at the fact that, you know, they were hinting at one stage that they were going to try and do a spinoff where that was just Raj. And I don't...
He's not a strong enough character to hold it.
No, Raj wouldn't be able to sustain that show by himself.
You can't do the show without his other friends because they're such an integral part of his life.
Yeah, I mean, Kunal Nayar, I mean, he is a great actor. Yeah. And I give him 100% out of 100 that he's a great actor, but I don't think that he's strong enough to be able to carry an entire show by himself.
Well, that, and they didn't make him a strong enough character on the show to begin with.
No, he was always a third wheel.
Yeah.
The only time that he really started to branch out, and that actually, funny enough, that actually leads me into another question that Courtney... Now, Courtney has written a huge amount of all the episodes that she loves, like the Love Card Displacement, the Zarnicki.
Send me that email. I was supposed to have this in front of me. And
I did send you that email. I did send it to you. Absolutely. I'll even forward it to you right now again.
Don't do that.
I'm doing it right now. There it goes. But I did. I do listen to you. You know, the Cooper extraction, the focus, what's the attention, whatever it is, the comic book store regeneration. She's got a whole list, but she actually asked us what our favorite episodes might be. And I think this is a great question, because it does give us or give the listeners a bit of an insight as to what we think the great episodes are. So what do we think? Have you got the email there?
Yeah, you didn't send this one to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I did.
Nope.
Like the pancake batter anomaly, the peanut butter reaction. The peanut reaction. That was actually really quite good. The Euclid alternative.
Oh no, not Euclid Avenue.
That is an awesome one. I love
that one all the time.
Yeah, Courtney, that is another good one.
Oh no, not the pet store.
Oh my god, I love that one. The Bakersfield expedition, that was another good one. I like that one because you got to see them all dressed up as Star Trek characters. But I like it when they go to the cafe and they're like, you know, someone says about the we're Scotty, and Sheldon goes, well, that's the original series, we're Next Generation, and everyone's like looking at him, and he's like, yeah, and not that anyone cares.
I like the Czarnecki incursion too. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, oh, the Flights of the Valkyries, yeah. Yeah, anyone that actually has seen Apocalypse Now knows that bit of music very, very well. So I loved it when I was actually watching that episode for the first time and heard the Flight of the Valkyrie. I'm like, oh my god,
I just love it where Penny goes back and gets Sheldon's stuff back.
Oh yes. Oh good. This is where
this I'm is a girl your gonna... lucky day. A girl's going to touch you in your special place. Boom, and kicks him in the nuts. Now you're gonna give him his stuff back.
Now, any guy on the planet that saw that episode would have doubled over and gone, oh god, because that, everyone, can drop us to the floor and not get us up for quite some time.
Yep.
Literally and figuratively, we are not going to get up anytime soon. Another episode that I really like, I don't know whether you like this, is the comic book store. You know, when Sheldon is absolutely, everything is falling apart for him, and he says, I'm going to go to the one place that makes sense. And he goes to the comic book store
and it's
burnt down.
And he's like, well, and Sheldon or
Stuart
is like, I can't support you right now. It's like everything in my life has now fallen apart. It is literally in ashes around me. So Sheldon picks up a comic book and says that he's going to buy this one. He's like, okay, $2. He's like, seriously, for a waterlogged comic book?
Yeah. And he goes, I think he says something about like, okay, $1. And he goes, okay. And he says something about, well, I can't give you change. I've only got a change for 100 or something like that. But it is a great episode because you really see that Sheldon at that moment is totally concerned and consumed with what's going on for him.
Yeah.
And when we see that Stuart, because obviously we find out that Stuart had been cooking in the back and had gone across to the car wash
to have a shower.
And then came back and his store's burnt down.
Yeah.
I mean, you do certainly feel for Stuart at that moment, because I like it when Sheldon walks out and Stuart throws a whole heap of comic books into the bin and goes to walk away, and a light falls from the ceiling and he goes, wow, if I was standing under that, I would have been hit. Wow, just not my day.
Just cannot catch a break.
So, yeah, there is
although
that one.
Although I will say one of my absolute favorites is the bath item gift hypothesis, which is that Christmas one where she gets the signed napkin from Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
And he throws all the baskets at her. And she's like, it's Sheldon, it's too much. He's like, you're right. She's like, he's right. It's not enough.
One episode that I do like is when we have that parallel universe where Leonard is not the one that moves in with Sheldon. It's actually
from Texas.
Yeah. Tam.
Thank you. Yeah.
And when he's sitting on the couch and Sheldon goes and hugs Penny, and Penny goes, look, Tam, he's hugging me. And he goes, it's a Saturnalia miracle.
It's a Saturnalia miracle. You know, I love that episode.
That episode is really great. But there's so many episodes, and Courtney has touched on so many great, great episodes. The work song, Nano Cluster.
Yeah, that one. I was actually just going to mention that one. I love that episode, but I hate the fact that the guy. Okay, so it's really Leonard's fault that he developed the website and promised overnight shipping that causes them to have to stay up all night making thousands of these little things.
The penny blossoms.
And then they get another order and she's like, okay, guys. And they all give up on her. And it's like, it's your fault.
Yeah. Because even
at the very least, Leonard should have stayed because it was his fault.
But even Leonard sits here and goes, when he sees the next order come through, and he goes, yep, one day rush. I should really take that off the website. It's like,
and then doesn't.
Yeah, I know. Because even Penny calls him out and goes, you know, one day rush, how can we do that? And he goes, well, Amazon does that. And she says, yeah, but they don't glue the books together.
Yeah.
It's like, that's true. So really, yeah, it certainly is Leonard's fault for doing that. I mean, that's just, I don't know. I think that side of things, like, yeah. I mean, look, there are so many great episodes that
I mean, we could go on and on about all of these. We really could.
Yeah, there really are so many great, great episodes. And I love the fact that Courtney's taken the time just to go through and give us all these ideas. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
we could be here all day,
which is great. Now, another thing that Courtney has actually sent, which this is something that I didn't even see, we really want to touch on this one.
Captain Sweatpants.
No, this is the. Oh, actually, did you want to do the Captain Sweatpants first? Because we've got this. All right, so let's do the Captain Sweatpants one first. So she emailed us about, I'm going to find out. Whoa. There's so many emails that she sent.
No.
I've got to remember which one I've done. Okay, so we've got that one. So let's start. Okay, so I've got it. So now the first thing that she sent us is in this other episode, in this other email. A little fun thing that I noticed is how Sheldon's father in Young Sheldon is played by the same actor who came to an episode of The Big Bang Theory
Captain Sweatpants.
I'm getting to that.
In that same email, but it's a totally different point.
Okay, well, let's go through these points.
You started it, now finish.
Yeah, yeah, and then I've got another point to do, and then we'll get to the Captain Sweatpants. All right, okay. So we find that Sheldon's father in Young Sheldon is played by the same character who is actually Leonard's bully.
Yeah. The same actor, Lance Barber.
Yeah. Now, when we actually got a chance to dive a little bit deeper into the Big Bang Theory on YouTube, they actually had an interview with him about this point. And he said that he hopes that everyone will sort of like look at the character that he is now on Young Sheldon and sort of forget about that. The bully character. Because I don't think that he really... It really wasn't a strong character anyway, the bully character.
It was character. I really liked that episode.
Really?
I did.
Okay, what about...
Because it allowed Leonard to really grow and understand that forgiveness is about releasing yourself, not the person who did something to you.
Yeah, I mean...
The bully, they ended up going out together. The guy got a little bit drunk and he apologized and said that he felt really bad for treating Leonard the way that he did in high school. And then the next morning, he doesn't remember any of it and is still a jerk.
Yeah.
And Leonard realizes that his forgiving of that bully was allowing him to let go of the past and set himself free. That it really doesn't have anything to do with the guy himself.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was a real growth point for Leonard.
Yeah.
But this happens a lot on especially long running shows like this, where a character, where someone will have a bit part on one show. The producers will be like, you know what? We really liked this person. I think we'll bring them back for this other role.
great example of that is Doctor Who, where Peter Capaldi had a bit part in an episode with David Tennant as the Doctor called The Fires of Pompeii. And he played this little part in that. And then three or four seasons later, after Matt Smith's tenure, he comes back as Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But they found him for that. He also had a part on the final Torchwood series, Children of the Earth, a really powerful role with a lot of range on that. And then they brought him back as the Doctor.
Yeah. So, I mean, it certainly does work in that scenario. And I do think that, you know, in all honesty, when I'd watched The Big Bang Theory and then I started to watch, and Kat and I have watched every single episode of Young Sheldon, we're actually hanging out for season 7, who, let's do a little bit of a spoiler now, quick spoiler alert for anyone that wants to know about Young Sheldon. This season, episode 7, is rumored to be the very final season.
Not episode 7, season 7.
Season 7, I should say.
Yes,
season
it will
7.
Be the, it will be the final season.
Season, yeah.
We know that through the Big Bang Theory, that Sheldon's father passed away when he was 14, and Sheldon is now 14.
Yeah, and he...
Sheldon and Missy are now 14.
Yeah, and apparently... obviously,
plus the kids are growing up, so calling it Young Sheldon doesn't really work anymore.
Yeah. There are spoilers that we could say with Young Sheldon, but we're not going to release any of that because we are going to do Young Sheldon and we want to give everyone the opportunity to watch that, Young Sheldon. And
yeah,
then we're going to do it.
I will say I love Young Sheldon. I think they've done some great things with it. I think Mary Cooper doesn't match up to the older Mary Cooper version that's the original Big Bang Theory has. I don't feel that the woman Mary in Young Sheldon would become the woman who is the Mary Cooper in the original series.
No, but I mean, for growth wise.
Yeah. I just don't see it happening. Those characters just do not marry up for me. And I feel that they really missed a great opportunity with the episode when they had Sheldon tested to see if he was crazy.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah,
they
we're
really
not going to tell them whether
because
yeah.
they made such an issue of that in the original series that I feel like they really missed a golden opportunity. I mean, that's the whole reason we wanted the Young Sheldon series to begin with, is so we could see that moment in time, and they blew it.
But even the younger Mary Cooper does say it's okay. I had him tested, or I should have actually gone and got him a further test.
We should have taken the further testing.
Yeah,
and they really missed an opportunity with that because they had the episode where they took him to the psychologist, but it just was so.
Yeah,
you know, and I don't like the fact that they have done things in Young Sheldon that go against what is established in the original series.
Yeah.
I really hate it when they go against canon.
But I will say that we're not going to talk about Young Sheldon right now because we're doing Big Bang Theory and we want to make sure that everyone gets a chance.
Young Sheldon, once we have completed Big Bang Theory in a year or so.
Yeah, we are definitely going to go on to Young Sheldon. So please, you know, if you're going to follow along with the podcast, and I hope that you guys all do, and you're interested in listening to us talk about Young Sheldon, please go and watch it because it is strong writing. The characters are good. The stories are good. It's not a boring series. It really follows along the same Big Bang Theory. And even so, and I'm just going to do a little bit of a spoiler, you actually get to see an episode where Sheldon is going to be listening to the Nobel Prize speech that's going to be given, and he decides to set up a whole lot of chairs for his little friends to come and listen at like 5 a.m. in the morning.
Friends, the other high school kids that he's
school
with.
Nobody turns up, but we do get to see as we go through. We get to see a picture of a young Penny laying in bed, and then we get to see
Leonard's listening to the broadcast as well.
Howard
is playing video games.
Raj is listening to it.
Amy's late in bed with a flashlight reading Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
Bernadette is in bed with her beauty pageant.
Yeah, beauty pageant. That's right. Yeah. So we do get to see a little bit of a hint through there. So as I said, we're not going to talk about Young Sheldon.
That's one of my favorite moments on Young Sheldon is that scene.
But it is absolutely wonderful. Now, this is a question that I'm going to read out, okay, word for word, if I can, because I'm not very good at reading word for word, as you know, but I want to read it out because this is why we really wanted to dive into Courtney's episode, okay?
Courtney's emails.
This is her, Courtney's email. She sent this, and I think this is a great thing, and I didn't even realize this until I mentioned it to you, and you're like, oh, yeah. So this is number two. I was listening to the recent podcast episode you made about the wildebeest implementation, and I realized something that I'd never thought about before. In the episode, Kat says how it's not really fair that they made Bernadette go undercover and find out about Priya for Penny and Amy, who are back at home. You said that it wasn't fair at that stage of Bernadette's life because she was more shy and would be uncomfortable snooping in that stage of her character development. But if they had made her do that later on the show, she would have been more okay with it because she gets more confident. We actually do see this in the episode where Bernadette suggests to Penny and Leonard that they go and spy on Amy and tall British Dave when they're on a date at a restaurant. But what I notice is that in this episode, Penny asks Bernadette where she got all the spy equipment from. And she says it's from when she used to spy on old boyfriends before Howard. So this means that she actually has always been a bit of a spy. This makes me wonder, where did the shy Bernadette persona come from that we see in the early episodes? Was it just putting it on? Or maybe it's just how she feels when she's meeting new guys until she gets comfortable. That is a really, really good question. And we need to dive more into that. So
I don't think there's a whole lot to dive into there.
Well, I mean, do you feel that, you know, that is... Yeah, that is a really plausible question, because when you see her, you know, she is the, I don't think I need to do that, or I don't think.
Girl.
Sorry, darling?
I can't do this. I'm a good Catholic girl.
Yeah, so, you know, do we see that there may be, you know, there.
I don't think that there's a conflict here. Because the spy equipment is a supercharged version of basically stalking your ex on Facebook.
Okay.
Or driving past his house and seeing the car and trying to figure out who's driving that car.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's distance stuff. It's totally different than going into and spying and getting back to people about something like they tried to make her do.
But in Courtney's points, though, do you think that, you know, that is actually quite plausible that she isn't that prim and proper young girl?
No, that's what I'm saying. She is that prim and proper young girl.
Until, as Courtney says, until she meets a guy that she's more comfortable with, and then she's happy to go and spy on him. So maybe she's got this alter ego.
I think she would have done the spying before anyway. Because it doesn't conflict with her prim and proper to do it from a distance.
Really? I don't see that. I see it more along the lines of, okay, I'm going to pretend that I'm this prim and proper girl, but you know, I've got access to military grade spy equipment.
Like I said, it's a supercharged version of it.
Yeah,
but you can be prim and proper and still stalk your ex-boyfriend's Facebook page to see who he's dating, and then stalk that person on their page.
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
I mean, I think that's human nature, isn't it? That we all tend to want to find out what the other person's doing because we've no longer got access to that. I mean, in the good old days, and anyone who did not grow up in the technological age that we are at right now, there was no such thing as stalking anybody unless you were going to go and stand out the front of their house in a raincoat watching their house, because there was no social media back then. It was, you broke up with somebody, it's done. It's over. You can't go and see them. You can't go and, as I said, unless you're going to park your car, if you had a car, and if you didn't have a car, well, you ride your bicycle. But the fact is that, you know, you couldn't literally go and see what they were doing because there was no social media. Now, in the technological age that we live in right now, it gives us more access to that person's inner world. And there was, I think there is a way that you can actually find out who is looking at your profile on Facebook. I don't know whether they've stopped that now, but there was a time back there, back a while ago, where you could actually find out through a search through this through the app in Facebook exactly who's been looking at your profile.
Oh,
so
I didn't
there,
know that.
Yeah, so there was a way to find out exactly who was stalking your, you know. But the thing is that when you look at it, in all honesty, you know, if you break up with somebody, you know, do you really want to buy back your old toys? You get rid of your old toys for a reason. You want new toys. You don't want to go back to the same old toy. Yes, the same old toy would probably be comfortable. You know them. They know you. But really, in all honesty, you're just selling yourself short going back to what you've known in the past, because there was a reason that you broke up with each other.
Yeah, but sometimes if you have been broken up for a while and you haven't found anybody, you forget why.
Yes.
And you get lonely. And so you start looking at them again and you start romanticizing the past.
That is very, very true. Now, another
episode. Okay, now can we talk about Captain Sweatpants?
Funny enough, I am just on that email that Courtney has sent. I am. I am sitting here looking at it, and I can read it out. She writes, now the first point that she writes in this email is, in Season 7, Episode 3, The Scavenger Vortex, the gang are all doing Raja's scavenger treasure hunt. In Season 7 again, but in Episode 18, The Mummy Observation, Raj hosts a murder mystery night. I noticed that the clothes they all wear in these episodes are actually super interesting. They're all wearing clothing with different colors. For example, one person is in blue, one is in red, one is in yellow, one is in green, and one is in white. And I thought that this really is really clever, since they look like Cluedo characters.
I love that game.
I mean, as she said, it's a very good costume design.
Yeah.
That the producers literally sat there and went, hang on a minute, if he's going to do a murder mystery night, which, you know, Raja's got some great ideas, like the scavenger hunt.
Raja should have been a party planner.
He really should have been. He was great at the party
planning.
I mean,
really good at the party planning.
When he does
And I've done those home murder mystery games. They are so much fun. If we had friends, I'd host them.
Okay, well, we don't have friends, and I've never done it. But I will say, in all honesty, that Raja's scavenger hunt, where they all get the gold coin, I think that is absolutely, that is brilliant, the way that he did it, the way that he set it all up. I mean, and that is another great episode that I love, is when Sheldon has got the bowling ball, and they're like, you know, do you really think you're gonna need a bowling ball? And he goes, well, yes, I might need a bowling ball. And
then they turn up at the bowling alley, and he's like, vindicated!
Yes, I am smarter than anybody! So that is, I mean, Raj is really, really great to come up with these ideas. So I think that the writers, when they looked at that episode and went, you know what, if we're going to do a Cluedo episode, let's put them all in the same colors as the characters on the board game. And that, see, that's something that Courtney touched on that a lot of people don't,
We missed it.
I had no idea, because until she actually mentioned it, it was like, oh, okay, I didn't see that one. So, you know, that is a great thing. Now we are going to go on to...
That still wasn't talking about the Captain Sweatpants item.
I am coming to that. I don't want to miss anything.
Keep saying that, but then you don't get there.
Okay, I have got number 2 and number 3, and then
just
we are
jump to number 4.
Okay, let us do number 4. The last point also makes me think of the past characters who were only in episodes once or maybe a few times. For example, Lonely Larry, Captain Sweatpants. Now you're on. What are we talking about?
Captain Sweatpants' son.
Yes.
Apparently he has a son.
Mm-hmm.
And if you Google Captain Sweatpants' son, he apparently only shows up for one episode, but he exists but is unnamed.
Yes, he does.
And he does. We did it.
We did. We actually, Courtney, we actually looked for this one and we actually found the picture. And it is, because he's actually in line to go and see Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And remember when Sheldon gets arrested?
Yep.
And he's in...
that was the duck deficiency.
Yeah.
Or the follow-up to the duck.
The follow-up to the duck deficiency, yeah. And they're in line to go and see Stan Lee. So when you see the line and the Spider-Man theme comes on Leonard's phone, and he answers it, Captain Sweatpants looks at him and goes, nice. In front of Captain Sweatpants is his son. And his son actually turns to look at the telephone ringing as well. So you've got father and son in line to go and see Stan Lee.
Yep.
Now, that is awesome. That is really, really a great little nugget. I didn't even know.
I think, like I said, I thought we were into Big Bang lore, but Courtney puts us to shame.
Courtney has got it over us. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, she says, in the last few seasons, were great. Don't get me wrong, but I think the episodes got a bit repetitive. I feel like in every episode, the problem was Sheldon doing something wrong, everyone else being annoyed at him, then Sheldon eventually apologizing. Mm. I feel like perhaps in an alternate time universe or timeline of the show, the writers could reintroduce a past love interest like Leslie Winkle or Stephanie or Alice to spice up the situation a bit and maybe even make Leonard and Penny's relationship even stronger. Just a fun idea. Now,
wait a minute. Who's Alice?
I'm
drawing
God.
A blank.
I've got a
Leslie Winkle, yes. Dr. Stephanie, yes.
Yes.
But who's Alice?
No, I don't think it was Alice. I think she got the wrong. The one that was with the one that got attached to Sheldon.
Nowitzki. Right?
Yeah. Mona. I think she meant Mona.
Mona Nowitzki.
Yeah, not Alice. Mona. Yeah. But now that's the interesting thing she mentions about Stephanie, because they actually said on a little spoiler about is that we never got to see exactly what happened with them.
They broke up.
Yeah, but like, She could have been an integral part of the show.
She could have been, but she didn't have the chemistry with Leonard like Penny did, and we always wanted to, it was always going to be Penny.
I mean, you know, Courtney also says that she doesn't like the episodes with Priya and Stephanie Barnett. I will honestly say, Courtney, I agree with you. I don't like the Priya episodes.
No,
Priya is
insecure narcissist.
Yeah, Priya is very much me. Really, I mean, she's not really bringing out the best in Leonard. She's just teaching him what she wants to know.
She's trying to mold him into what she thinks he should be.
Exactly. Now, do we think that Stephanie would be the same way?
I think Stephanie actually liked Leonard for Leonard.
I think so, too.
But the problem was that Leonard was never fully over Penny and could never fully commit to Stephanie.
Okay, so I just wonder how it is, though, that then Leonard becomes very attached to Priya. Is he really over Penny at that stage?
No, I think he's trying to use Priya to get him to convince himself that he's over Penny.
Yeah. I just see that, and I agree.
Oh my God, I just realized Priya is like his mother.
She's
the same personality type as his mother, and he's constantly trying to get that that praise and justification from her.
Yeah.
And recognition.
Wow. No, I definitely do agree with Courtney. I've never liked Priya. I think that when we see Priya, when I first saw Priya, it was like, no, you are not bringing out the best in Leonard. It's like, I've had a relationship very much similar to this. I know the person that I am. I know that I'm the way that I am is the way that you get me. I can't mold myself to something. But I remember an ex-girlfriend, I know that she was trying to get me to be more, but she was trying to mold me into something that her family and her expected me to be.
I don't know that, do I?
No. Not that she would say, I love you for who you are. You know,
I love you for who you are.
I know, darling. Thank you.
I think you're cute.
Thank you. And I'm sure a lot of people would believe you because I think I'm cute too. But yeah, I definitely do agree that there are certainly people like Priya that want to make sure that Leonard is up to her standards of the way that she perceives him. And it's a very, very toxic relationship. If you can't go to a person and say, I like the color red, I like to drink tea, and I like to watch sunsets. And if someone says, well, I like coffee, I don't like sunsets, and I hate the color red, it's like, also, why would you have to change to go, oh, okay, so now I don't like sunsets, I don't like drinking tea, and I don't like the color red. I like blue coffee and, you know, early mornings, which I really don't like. It's like, why would you have to change the person that you are? Be happy with the person that you are. Don't try to change yourself for someone else, because you're just showing them you're not being genuine to yourself and you're going to be very, very miserable. And I think that's where Leonard is not being bought out the good way that, that Penny does. Penny looks at Leonard and she doesn't say to him, I want you to wear this. I want you to do that. I want you to say this. She's like, I want you for the way that you are. You're fine. It's only when Penny finally discovers that.
The thing is, the only time we see Penny criticizing Leonard's wardrobe is when he's giving a presentation and she's helping him pick out something to wear.
Yeah. But she still doesn't sit there and go, you know, don't you dare wear that.
No, the closest she came was here, do this. And he's like, oh, I should look at wearing that. She's like, no, just get rid of it.
Yeah. But she doesn't sit there and say it's.
But I'm not going to have anything to do with you if you wear that.
Yeah, exactly.
I did have a guy that I was dating once say that to me because I used to have this amazing Disney jacket that had all the like Winnie the Pooh characters on it.
Yes.
It was a denim jacket.
I saw that jacket. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a shame I forgot that one and it went in the yard sale.
Damn it.
But I actually had this guy that I had met online and he had seen my picture that I happened to be wearing that jacket. And he basically told me that if I wore that, I could forget about going out with him.
Oh, please. That's a great jacket.
It's too childish.
Oh, bugger off.
Yeah.
Now, one thing, and I do need to read this because I think this is a great bit of information that Courtney actually had put in the email. And it was actually something that the friends of hers who aren't in the Big Bang Theory actually pointed out to her, and that's the humor in the show. She said, I've watched the show for many years, and so I'm very used to the humor in it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I've thought this myself at times.
Yeah. Now, a couple of her friends have actually said that, I had a friend who wasn't too impressed with the lad humor or boys humor in the show. She said it is actually seems a bit offensive.
Especially Howard in the early episodes where he was really misogynistic and sexist and degrading to women.
Exactly. Now, yeah. she actually points out that one of her friends was saying that if you get to see something like The Office, you know, in the Office TV show, when one of the characters is offensive or makes a very bad comment, the other characters pull him up on it.
Yeah, they call him out. Whereas in this one, it's like, oh, it's just Howard. What do you expect?
Yeah. So I really think that that is a really, really great point that Courtney brings up, that there is, as she says, it's Howard, there's an excuse of boys will be boys. As much as I love the show, I do think she is sort of right in that sense. And I do agree with that, is that there should be accountability for every character.
Yeah.
You can't just sit there and say, oh, it's a boys will be boys scenario.
Well, that's why I love the Marcy Grossman episode so much. When Penny goes to apologize for decking Howard.
Yeah.
When he tried to kiss her. And that's why I love that episode so much, is because that's the beginning of Howard growing up and realizing he cannot talk to women like that.
Yeah.
And I love Penny for teaching him that.
And I think that is a really great point that that Courtney brings up with regards to her friend actually pointing out that little bit of information on it.
But I also like her, the way she puts it, this non-threatening, adorkable framing is designed to excuse the other more toxic parts of the nerdy guy trope.
I like that. I like how she words
that. The adorable misogyny of the Big Bang Theory. I really like the way that she says that.
Yeah, I like how she's phrased that sentence. It really just shows you, you know, that Courtney has really gone down the rabbit hole of the Big Bang Theory. And as I said, and as Kat has said, you know, we thought we were super fans. We're nowhere near.
Well, we are super fans. We just don't necessarily go quite as deep as some.
Now, she actually wants to point out, let's share some appreciation for the nurse who's shown up in the show more than once. Yeah, I will actually agree on that one. We see her in episode one where she's at the sperm clinic when the robot
this woman gets around.
Yep, when the
she
robot
must
is
be a
great character actress.
Well, the nurse must be just one of those that from an agency, so she fills in where needed.
Yeah, because she's in
because if she were working at the sperm bank, she wouldn't be the ER nurse.
Yeah, but she gets to the ER and manages to release the robot from the...
She's an agency nurse, I think.
Yeah, but I love it how she's like at the ER when Howard comes in with the robot holding his penis.
Can I have a wheelchair? I have a man with a robot hand on his penis.
I like it how she says, "Where's the rest of the robot?" And he goes, "Well, I didn't build it."
I see. The hand is all you needed.
That is another great episode.
We don't have a code for a robot hand clutching a man's penis.
That is, so I do. I will definitely agree. And I love it for the fact that after all that, spoiler alert, if anyone's not seen it, I'm sure you have. But if you haven't, fast forward 30 seconds.
Uh-huh.
But I love the fact that she is in the delivery suite with Bernadette and Howard when they're about to give birth.
Yeah.
I think that is really, really wonderful that she's there. So she really comes full circle. Now, I didn't realize this. Now, the actress, and I'm probably going to butcher this name.
McCucci.
Thank you. And Ricky Lindholm, who plays Lucy and Mona Nowinski.
Ramona,
that's
Nowitzki.
Right. Has formed a band called Garfunkel and Oates in 2007. That is really cool. She actually, and they've actually, apparently, according to Courtney, they've actually uploaded some of their songs
on YouTube.
So you can actually see them.
Garfunkel and Oates.
Yeah, it's a folk duo. I think that is really great.
That's cool.
I love that. I really do love that one. Now, I look at it. She goes, her second to last point, which is so long, Courtney.
Oh, yeah.
It's a long.
Let's just sum up by saying character development.
Yes,
so
definitely.
Sheldon has a massive arc over the show, going from incredibly awkward and narcissistic to actually caring about others and being a real, he becomes a real boy.
Yeah.
Howard has a massive arc going from creepy, creepy, creepy to responsible, married husband and father, and honestly, one of the favorite characters.
Yeah.
Okay. Penny has a fairly strong growth arc going from kind of airhead bimbo to responsible woman working in pharmaceutical sales, and she doesn't grow as much. She still has some level of narcissism to her.
A little bit, yeah.
And she did never, she, I don't feel that she ever quite treats Leonard as good as she should. I love the two of them together, but I still feel like in some ways he's too good for her.
I do see that. I do see that Leonard is still is still too good for Penny, but Penny is, you know.
And that being said, Raj has a little bit of an arc, but it's an awkward one. It's basically, he can't talk to women. Now he can talk to women. When he gets the job at the planetarium,
yeah.
He comes more into his own, and he starts to realize how badly Howard has treated him all the time. And he finally stands up to him. And as Dumbledore says, it takes a lot of courage to stand up to your enemies and even more to stand up to your friends.
Yeah, it does.
He and Howard go through that period where Howard has to learn to respect him or hit the road. Yeah. And I really love that particular storyline. But other than that, Raj doesn't really grow a whole lot. And in a lot of ways, Leonard is still the same guy he was when the show started.
Yeah. I mean, another one of the biggest arcs that I actually see the growth is Amy.
Yeah. Amy starts out as really creepy and finally comes, you know, and she still has her moments where she's just kind of creepy. It was just unnecessary.
I don't think that they should have really written her the way they did in the beginning, where it was almost like, and as I said, I've got nothing against the LGBTQ. I'm not gay phobic, believe me.
No.
But the way they wrote her in the beginning, it was very hypersexualized that she was, they almost kind of thought that they might write her as gay.
Well, it was like they wanted her to be socially awkward. Which
they
was
got
fine.
That perfect, yeah.
That was fine, but then she would just make these comments and things, especially to Penny, and it was just really uncomfortable.
It was, I mean, even when they were doing the sleepover.
Painting. Yeah, yeah, you know, and it was just
not so much the painting, but I certainly think the sleepover was yeah, but I certainly think the sleepover was really
the sleepover was just really awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, it came out with some great stuff, but there was also some really awkward things in there, like when she followed Penny into the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, and so Amy had a moderate arc. But like I said, and
Bernadette went the wrong way.
Bernadette went, but who the one who really went the wrong way was Stuart. He was actually a decent guy when we met him, and then he became this complaining, morose, depressed person that everything was a drama.
I mean, he went that way until he met his... Okay, and this is another thing that I find really wrong with this scenario. He goes and hires a girl who works at the comic book store, and then they start a relationship.
Yeah.
So it's like you're dating your employee.
Yeah.
You know? But then again, we also see that her roommate, he is more creepy. And we're going to get to that episode because that is really creepy.
But the thing, yeah. Although that being said, I can't think of her name, the girl that works at the comic book store. She's the perfect person for
Stuart. She is. Oh, definitely. Yeah. She is right on point.
But Stuart being so creepy, you know, watching Howard and Bernadette sleep.
That was really
bad. There were just things wrote in that they probably thought were funny that were just creepy and completely unnecessary.
Because as you said, he didn't start creepy.
No, he started out as a really great guy who would have been a perfect part of the group.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why they did that. Now there is point nine on Courtney's email, and both Kat and I have actually said we are actually going to omit that one from the answer.
So why did you even bring it up?
Because I'm saying it, but Courtney's the only one that knows what she wrote there. So I'm basically saying to Courtney that we're not going to touch on that simply because we want to cover that in the episode.
Okay.
But it's a very, very good point.
And just because he's opening loops, it's that episode where season 6, episode 19, The Closet Reconfiguration, where Sheldon finds the letter from Howard's father.
Yep.
We're not going to get into that now because we want to save that for the actual episode.
Yeah, but we love that. Now, one more.
But I'm with you, Courtney, that Howard and Bernadette's closet is so spacious. It's gorgeous. I'm jealous.
Yeah, well, as they say, you can never have too much closet space.
No, you can't. Well, Penny says you can't have too many shoes.
Shoes, yeah, exactly. Now, this is a really interesting, and this is the last email that actually I've got from Courtney. So she's written an email about the fact that she notices that within some of the episode names, as you go along the whole series, is the episodes with the word maternal in them.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed quite a few episodes, 4 in total, that have the word maternal, and I think they might mean something quite sweet. I think this usually relates to Leonard's mum, since all the episodes are when Beverly comes over to stay. Mm-hmm. Here is a list of all the episodes I found with the words maternal in them as you go deeper into the series.
Another email you didn't forward me, by the way, so I don't.
Yes, I did. I forwarded it to you. I've got it here to say I did forward it to you. I don't know where your emails are going, but I'm forwarding it to you again. There you go. It's just been sent for the second time, and I can show you because I forwarded it to you on the 7th of February. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's what, okay. If you didn't forward it to me in the last couple of days, do you know how many emails I get a day?
Oh, that's because she owns her own business, everyone, and she's got so many emails up the wazoo. So yeah.
So unless you forward it to me right before we do this episode, I'm not going to see it.
Okay. Well, I've just sent it to you, so you've got it now. So as she goes deep into the series, you see season 2, episode 15, the maternal capistance.
Mm-hmm.
Season 3, episode 11, the maternal congruency. Season 8, episode number 23, the maternal combustion. And season 12, episode 22, the maternal conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all about the journey of his relationship with his mother, that vile excuse for a human.
I mean, as she says, we've taken with him in his process through the 12 seasons of trying to heal his relationship with his mother. I thought it was quite cool, especially one of the very last episodes called a conclusion, which is sort of an ending of that storyline and pilot point of him trying to always heal the relationship he had between him and his mum. Let me know what you think. I do believe that. I think they did that for a specific reason. I think they made
it. I know they wanted to resolve the relationship between him and his mother before the series ended. I still think it's too little too late.
Really?
Yeah. Beverly is a sorry excuse for a mother.
but you don't think that his, accepting how she is his closure on the relationship, because he's always been trying to get her validation.
Known what she is like. And I know that he hates himself for trying to continually get her validation.
Mm.
And that he's finally letting go of it and saying, all right, to hell with you, mother. And that's when she's like, oh, well, come here, my darling, my son, and it's like, no.
I mean, a lot of the time I think that maybe, and I think Courtney's, done a great points about all the way that it goes through to the conclusion, is the fact that maybe his growth arc has to be not only his growing through this, but also his friends showing him what a healthy relationship is. You see the relationship between Penny and her father.
Mm.
That's a very healthy relationship. You see the relationship between Bernadette and her parents.
Yeah.
And that's a healthy relationship. Amy's not so much. Amy's mother and father are not the ones that I would include in this scenario. But even when you look at Raj's mother and father, they've got the healthy relationship and the family dynamic until...
Well, it can't be that healthy. They get
until
divorced.
We see that it... Until they divorce, obviously. But there's still that healthy...
Bye, we gotta go. Dookie's on.
But we do still see that Raj's father is very much in the picture of being a positive role model to Raj.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you really see everyone around him, I think Leonard would have, his acceptance and, I forgive you, mother. And when she says, I didn't ask you for your forgiveness, and he's like, it's okay, I forgive you anyway. It's almost like he's saying to her, regardless of whether you want to or not, I forgive you. And I've done the same thing.
Like I said earlier, forgiveness is about letting yourself free, not about the person who wronged you.
Exactly. And I think, and this is another reason that I like this email, is the fact that I had the same scenario with my ex-wife. She destroyed me emotionally. But it was only after me speaking to her, funny enough, her ex-husband and her son that I'm very, very close to, that I ended up by letting go of the anger and the amazing hurt that I had in my heart, and I forgave her. Now, if I was standing in front of her and said, such and such, I forgive you, she would have said, I didn't ask you your forgiveness, and I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
It's not about you, sweetie. It's about me. It's my personal healing. I'm healing myself. I deserve to be healed and move on. I am not going to be laying on my deathbed holding on to all this emotional hatred and hurt. I'm letting it go.
They say holding on to resentment is taking poison and expecting someone else to die.
Exactly. So I think with Leonard saying to Beverly, I forgive you, and she says, I didn't ask you, it doesn't matter whether you forgive, whether you want me to, whether you ask me to forgive you, I'm forgiving myself for your the way that you are.
Yeah,
you are not a nice person.
The way I allowed you to treat me.
Yeah, you're not a nice person. I allowed you to do this to me up to this point, but today I have forgiven myself for your shortcomings, and I'm setting you free. Regardless of however you are in your relationship with anyone else, I am going to just forgive you and say, I am sorry that you are the person that you are, but I'm letting you go emotionally in that hold that you've got on me. Because as Leonard says, he was always trying to do, I remember there's the episode where Sheldon's mum is sitting there with Leonard and, and Beverly. Yeah. And Sheldon's mum starts to talk about Leonard's family, and Beverly says, oh, my son just recently argued a point to the Supreme Court. And she looks at him and she goes, oh, he did? And she looks over at Leonard, and she said, and Leonard goes, oh no, it was the other way. And she goes, oh, and that's where Sheldon's mum goes, oh, I thought you meant Leonard. And Beverly goes, oh yeah, he's great.
Yeah,
no validation.
This is the thing. Leonard's mother, this is why I despise her so much, is he has a brother and a sister who are both very successful in their respective fields. And she is proud of the other two.
Absolutely.
And she brags about that and this and that. But she refuses to do that with Leonard in any way, shape, or form, even though he is respected in his field. He has become very successful.
Very much so.
And she treats him like he's such an afterthought.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like on his birthday, he has to give his mother a gift because his being born was nothing to be recognized.
It was her achievement, not his.
It was her achievement, not his.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the fact that she treats him so differently than his siblings, it just, it angers me so much.
Yeah.
On his behalf.
Yeah. It's very disappointing because Leonard is a really great guy. He's not.
Yeah, he is.
He's not a womanizer. He's not into drugs. He's not into alcohol. He gets up and goes for work. Yeah, he just loves what he loves. You know, I love Kiss. I love, you know, gaming. You know, I would be probably be considered, you know, an outcast or a nerd, but this is what I love. You look at Sheldon, you look at, you know, you look at the core group of people, you know, they love comic books. They love going to the comic book store. They're into science. They're into bouncing laser beams off the moon and having Zach thinking you're going to blow it up. You know, and that's another great character. And that's another great character that's coming. Zach, he becomes an integral part of the show, even though he's not in there a lot, but he is a great, great part of the Big Bang Theory family. But, you know, Leonard is a really great guy. He goes to work. He works hard. He's respected, as you said. He's very successful. Why Beverly finds it just unheard of to actually give him a compliment?
Yeah, she just, ridiculous. She obviously dislikes him, and I don't know why.
I mean, she has to get drunk with Penny to go to Leonard's apartment and actually ask him and just basically hug him. Yeah. It's like,
yeah,
why? Do you have to be drunk to do that? That just doesn't make any sense. But look, I think that with what Courtney has written with the conclusion, I think it's great because it really comes full circle, is that Leonard has accepted the way that she was at the beginning, has come full circle to basically accept the way she is, but not to accept it, not to condone it. It's to, I've accepted who she is. I don't condone who she is. I let go of who she is.
Yeah.
I forgive you, Mother. Okay, you didn't ask me for forgiveness. Doesn't matter. I'm going to forgive you anyway because I want to release myself and my hate or my upset.
You no longer have any hold over me.
Exactly. And that, I think, is what a lot of people fail to do. And as I said, I did it in my past relationship. If I asked her, if I said to her, you know, I forgive you, it would be, I didn't ask you to and I didn't do anything wrong. Fine, doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyway because I'm going to make sure that on my deathbed, I'm not going to be laying there going, I hate, I hate, I hate. I'm not doing that. I am going with a clear heart and a clear mind. So I think what Courtney brought up with the episodes, great emails, really great emails. And this is why we did this episode.
This is the longest episode ever. We've been talking for over an hour.
That's fine. They'll love it. But this is why we love the Big Bang Theory family, is because they do take their time to do an email, and we take our time to do an episode wholly and solely on their email. So this has been an absolutely wonderful episode. Thank you very much, Courtney, for you know, taking the time to email us. And if you want to have your own episode, do what Courtney did.
Send us a crap ton of really long emails.
No, you don't have to send us a crap ton of emails. I think what Courtney did is amazing. But, you know, if you want your own episode, yeah, by all means, send us some stuff. We will definitely do it. But I have just been really impressed with her emails, the way that she's just dived into it. Even her friends have gotten on board and pointed out things about the Big Bang Theory that I didn't even realize that were in different shows, of calling out how people are in the Big Bang Theory. So, you know, we've loved doing this episode. Thank you very much once again, Courtney. And as I said, thank you very much to each and every family member of Perpetual Motion Squad. We love that you guys come here every single week to listen to us and that you are so interactive with us. And we really do appreciate you. Jeremy, we appreciate your email that you sent us. I mean, it's just, it's wonderful and it's humbling. And, you know,
we love that you want to spend time with us and talk about Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. I mean, as I said last week, we've had, I think it's like 12,100 impressions of our show. We're in the top one. Well, we're in the top 5%
of podcasts.
And we've been downloaded over 4,700 times. So
really?
Yeah, as of today, we've been downloaded 4,776
wow,
times.
To paraphrase Sally Field, you love us. You really, really love us.
And we love the fact that you love us.
We love you too.
And as I said, we are not untouchable. As you know, by what we've just done with Courtney's emails, we are not untouchable. We will always be here for everybody. We are not superstars by any stretch of the imagination. We're just sitting here, two people talking about the Big Bang Theory. So thank you very much once again for each and every one of you for coming to the Big Bang Theory podcast of Perpetual Motion Squad. We really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. And if you haven't left us a review yet, please do that wherever you listen. And if you know anybody else who would like to join the conversation, please feel free to spread the word.
Absolutely. And next week, we go back into our regular episodes, which is
Season 4, Episode 23, The Engagement Reaction.
Okay. We are looking forward to that one. So sit tight, everyone, because it's coming.
All right. And how do they reach us again?
PerpetualMotionSquad00@gmail.com. That is the number 00@gmail.com. But it's always in the show notes in the description, so you can always click on it.
Awesome. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. And in the meantime, see you at the Cheesecake Factory.
Bye, everyone.
Music and mythology, Einstein and astrology, it all started with the Big Bang.